Thank God. Now we are going to move to how Apostle Paul introduced himself after his conversion. The first one, he said, the servant of Jesus Christ, especially in most of his epistles. He, in the first sentence of the letter, he usually said, the servant of Jesus Christ, Paul. Okay, so a servant. I think that you have some experience be servant or be master of a servant, then you can compare. Servant. You know, sometimes the members have compassion on me because now I have to cook by myself. And then some members, past 8 years are pitiful, huh? So how about I invite you out to have a dinner? Okay, then we went out for dinner. And at one time, because I need a straw, okay, I need a straw, so I called the waitress. Hey, yeah. Then the waitress come. I said, excuse me, can I have a straw? Then, okay, no problem. Then she just brought out from her apron. Then, of course, if you said, I need a chopstick, and she will bring chopstick to you, then you will feel happy, right? Because as long as she serve you quickly, then you will feel happy. You will feel happy because she serve you. And then, of course, you will say, hey, give me a check, okay? And also give me a check quickly. Yeah? And you have to pay, and also pay tips. Right? And then if she can offer you good service, then you will give more tips. Okay? So in the same way, when we are servants of God, then we serve God well, we serve God quickly, and we serve God faithfully, and we serve God diligently, and then God will be happy. Okay? Then of course, God won't give us tips, but he will give us reward in heaven. So be servant. And be servant have to be ready to serve any time, any moment, any time, any occasion. Okay. Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 4. 13, verse 4. Rose from supper and laid aside his garments. The rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. So Jesus arose from his seat and laid aside his garment. The garment represents his status, his title, his master title. See, so he laid aside his status, the Son of God and God himself, and took a towel and girded himself to prepare to serve us. Okay. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he used the towel to wipe the water off. Okay. Because when we serve the Lord, of course, we also want to wipe the water off. Okay. Because we don't let anybody know what we are doing. We're doing any good deed, good things for Jesus Christ. Okay. So we just keep a secret. But our Heavenly Father will reward us in heaven in secret as well. Okay. So from this story, what tells us, when we are servants of God, then first thing we have take off our garment, our title. Of course, now you are student, okay, but later on, we may be CEO okay, of some company, CEO of ABC or CEO of CNN, CEO of IBM, maybe, okay, who knows. Someday, right? So I'm CEO of a TGC company. You might set up your own company and name a TGC company, or maybe. When you have some title, then you just took off your garment, like Jesus Christ, took off his garment, then took a towel and got his waist to prepare to serve our members anytime. There is a sister who taught me, okay, because many years ago, when she tried to apply the school, and the school mailed her to have an interview. So she just went to school, prepared for interview. Then as she went into the gate, she had to open the door, right? And she saw an old lady. She saw the old lady just walk and with a cane, walk into the door. And this young sister just opened the door from the old lady. It's old lady with a cane. Okay? So she just opened the door for her, for this old lady, because she didn't know who she was. Okay, so she just opened the door for her. And during the interview, she come to realize, wow, the lady I opened the door for her is want to interview me. See, then of course, if you help somebody, right, of course, somebody will give you a favor. So actually, the old lady was the head of a department. So the old lady just gave this young sister to eat the scholarship, the scholarship. So from this story, we can know we just anytime we're ready to serve someone and also to serve our brothers and sisters, especially when we go back to our local church. And many elder sisters or many elder brothers, they don't have ability to clean out their own rooms. You know, sometimes we went to visit our brothers or sisters, especially elder one or handicapped one. You can smell their room is so stinky and so smelly. It's not good. But if the young people like you just take 1 week, 1 weekend, and you summon all the youths, go his house or go her house to clean up for him or for her. So anytime we can be servant to our brothers and sisters. Not just offer the deep service. We have to take into action. So we many brothers and sisters who are in need. So we have to help them. Right? This is easy for us. Right? Just a couple of years then we went there to help him or to help her. And also, we have many weak, the Lordship one, the weak brothers and sisters, the weak members, then we have to help them. And just make a couple phone calls to call them. How are you doing? You know, just show our cares. So be servant. Okay, be serve other people, like Apostle Paul, the servant. And he put our members in his heart. He put the members in his heart. Okay, do I have any rooms in your heart? Do I have any rooms in your heart? Right. You have rooms in my heart. You are so special, right? So sometimes I also pray for our youth, especially for your marriage, for your career. Because nowadays, our economic situation it is so bad, right? Very bad. And sometimes it's very difficult to find a job now. And maybe our brothers and sisters will be laid off. Right. And this society is full of competition. Don't think about it, you are top. No, so many people, even top, you know, top than you. So how to survive in this society? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. So be a servant to serve others, then God will reward us in heaven. Okay. So when we need your help, then God will help us because we also help others. Okay. So God will help those who help others. Remember? God will help those who help others. You know my point? Okay. Then the next one, the priest of God's gospel. Okay. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 16. Romans 15 and 16. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So, in this verse, tell us the priest of God's gospel. The job of a priest is to offer sacrifice for members, offer the sacrifice. Okay, and today we are all the priests of gospel, so we have to minister our membership and also minister unsaved one, which means minister the Gentiles. Okay. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I went out to visit a gentleman, you know, not too sick. Yeah. And they live, he and his wife and daughter, one daughter, live in a motel. And the motel room is so small. They just moved from apartment to motel because they don't have the money to pay for apartment. Therefore, they just driven out to move in motel. Okay. The motel room is so small. And now they don't have the money to pay for motel. So the owner of motel just turned up the air conditioner. So in such kind of weather in Dallas, it is so hot, and so hot, and very hot, hot weather. So when we get in, then almost could not stand because it's so hot. And they are very poor, and they have one daughter, and one daughter just been raped a couple of weeks ago. They just worry about become pregnant, okay? So it's a very poor condition. It's so poor condition. So even we have minister Gentiles who are in need, they might need the gospel. Because if they have a gospel, then they can solve their life problem. With Jesus, then Jesus will feed us. Jesus promised to feed us, okay, to give us the opportunity. So many homeless people came to Dallas Church. And some of them who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior and also received water baptism, then at last they can find a job because God will help them. Okay, indeed. Even small, low job, low level job, like they only earn 8 hours an hour, but it's good for them. It's much better than nothing. So we have to serve, also minister the unsaved one. Okay, Gentiles. So actually, we are priests of God's gospel. Okay. Then the next one, the apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostle means which means sent, sent out. So one day, GA will send you out to the field, to where is the field? It's the world. Okay, in Africa, in South America, you know. To Tampa, to Denver, any kind of remote area, okay, GA might assign you. Okay? So you have to be prepared now. Equip yourself. So the apostle of Jesus Christ. So actually, right now, we are apostle. Everybody is apostle of Jesus Christ. Okay, be sent. Okay, let's turn to John. John 15. John 15, verse 16. 15 and 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, see, appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So when we chose Jesus as our personal Savior, then what did he do to us? Then he said, then he appointed us. And another English version says, he ordained us. He ordained us. So God did not just ordain the ministers, also ordained each of us. So God ordained us to go out, then to bear fruit. This is our job, okay? Because we are apostles. So apostle means sent out. So one day we will be sent out. We will be ordained, appointed by Jesus Christ to go out to preach, to help other people. So actually, the opportunity is everywhere. And if we miss one, then we will miss one blessing. Okay. If we miss two, then we will miss two blessings. If we miss much, then we will miss much blessings. So it depends how much opportunity we catch. If we catch individual opportunity, every single opportunity, then we will have a lot of abundant blessings. And blessings upon blessings. Okay. So we are apostles, and to go out and bear the fruit. Okay. When we bear the fruit, then we can please men, we can please God. Like, the fruit, if the fruit is so sweet, then people will be happy, right? If the fruit is so bitter, then nobody want to take our fruit. Nobody want to try our fruit. Right? So, how can draw the people to the TGC? How can draw people to the Lord by our fruit? If our fruit is so sweet, then the people can be drawn before the God, okay, before the Lord. So it depends on our fruit, whether it's sweet or bitter. Then the next one, the steward of God's ministry. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us, as the servants of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. 2. Moreover, it is required as a steward that one be found faithful. So the criteria to be a steward is be faithful. Faithful. Okay. So Apostle Paul said he was a steward and also deacon. Okay. Because the servant, another version says, deacon. But deacon actually is a servant. Okay. So one day we will be deacon, we will be ordained as a deacon. And sisters, you can ordained as a deaconess. Okay. So Deacon Wells? Deacon Wells? Hey. Deacon Wells? Here. Deacon's Emily. Hey, Emily, here, I'm here, Lord, I'm here. So one day you will become a deacon and deaconess, so be prepared, like Apostle Paul. Then what required from us? What is required from us? Be faithful. Okay. So this afternoon, during the prayer session, I will like use this topic for mutual encouragement. So we'll talk about more detail later on. Then the next one, ambassador of Christ. Okay. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. be reconciled to God, because we before we once God's enemies, but now apostle implore us, God said, please beseech us to be reconciled to God. So just make a good friend. So God and the apostle Paul is ambassadors, which means they are mediators, right? Mediators to bring one people to another people and to be reconciled and also to be a good friend. So we have to be ambassadors, okay, for the peace. And then we ask people to be peace with God and also to be peace with each other. So we are the ambassadors of peace. Peace. So we have to bring peace to the people. And how to bring peace to the people? We have to pursue the peace. Why is the peace? What's the peace? The kingdom of God is not drinking and eating, right? But of the righteous and peace and the joy of the joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? Okay. So when we pursue the kingdom of God, then we will have the peace. But before peace, we have to pursue righteousness. Then righteousness, which means fairness and the justness, okay, justness. So we have to do anything according to the Bible, do the righteous, do the right thing. If we do the wrong thing, then we don't have peace. If we do the right thing, then we do have peace. In Chinese the saying, okay, 不做坏事半夜不怕鬼敲门. How to translate this one into English? If anyone know how to translate this into English, raise your hand. Yeah. 半夜不做坏事，半夜不怕鬼敲门. Okay, again. Louder. So, can you? Okay, Satan, but 不怕, 不怕. You didn't translate 不怕. Yeah. Okay. You understand? Mikoyes, you understand what he's saying? Yes? Okay. If you didn't do any bad thing, right, in the night, you don't worry about, or you won't be afraid of a ghost, the evil, come to knock at your door, right? Okay. So ambassadors, we have to do the right thing. Then the next one, God's worker, and also God's soldiers. Okay, God's worker, of course, we work for God, and then we are soldiers, okay, of God. Then let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. So I see, my brother, fellow worker, and a fellow soldiers. So how he encouraged Timothy, just like a soldier. Okay, let's turn to First Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So good soldier of Jesus Christ have to endure the hardship. Okay. On the road of my spiritual journey, we will encounter many hardship. Okay. So this is the nature, this is usual, okay. As a soldier, then for no one engaged in warfare entangled himself with an affairs of this life, but he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we should not worry about this life, okay, this life. we should be content with what we have. Be content. Now, on Saturday, I just give an afternoon the Sabbath service. I give the example comparison between the children in Africa and the children in the United States. The children in Africa, they are easy to be happy, and the children in the United States, it's very hard to please them. They're crying all the time. But in Africa, they're always happy. Even they just have a naked, and also barefoot. They just barefoot, barefoot. So they just run everywhere, and they are so happy, smiling, laughing, smiling. They are so happy. So be content with what we have. Okay. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Okay, let's read it all together. 13, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with it. Okay. So just be content with such things as you have. Be content with what we have now. Okay. We don't have to pursue after more. Okay. When we pursue after more, of course, everybody wants to be millionaire. But how many of us can be millionaire? How many? So when we pursue after materialism, then one day we will fail. One day we will be disappointed. Because not everyone can be millionaire. No, not everybody can be successful. But one guarantee, Jesus guarantees us, if you pursue after the kingdom of God, I guarantee you can get it. You can get it. If we pursue after materialism, then Jesus never guarantee us. No, never, never, never. Okay, never guarantee us. But Jesus guarantee, if you pursue the kingdom of God, then I guarantee I can give you. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not a drinking and eating, so which means the kingdom of God has nothing to do with materialism, nothing to do with material things, no. So no matter how much we have, we can be joyful, we can be content, no matter how much we have. So we can be content right now, because we are here, okay? Even we sleep in the only small sleeping quarter, but we can be joyful. We can be content. Even our condition now is not as much as comfortable at home, but we still can be joyful. So when you go back to your house, your home, okay, actually you don't need much. You don't have to buy. So how many of you will not buy clothing, okay, from now till the end of this year, only half year? How many of you guarantee I will never buy a clothing within half year, only half year? Because be content with what you have. You have much already, right? You have much already. So how much you guarantee you won't get a new one? Raise your hand. Okay. Hey, sisters, huh? Come on. So when you go home, maybe after this, you were shopping, huh? After MITS, the first thing is to shop, to go shopping, maybe. So indeed, I'm serious. Be content. Otherwise, your heart will feel sorrowful, because you never satisfied with what you have. And this is not good. So when you go to Africa, you can see they are so poor. They don't have a kitchen. They don't have a refrigerator. They don't have a TV. Okay. I think you have shown some picture from pastors, right, who went to Africa before. So we just put more focus on Jesus Christ, and we have more time for Jesus. Then the next one, I think this we can share, you know, we can share. Okay? Because Apostle Paul, he introduced himself before conversion and after conversion. So now it's our turn, it's our turn. So how will you say about yourself before and after NYTS? Before and after. This is an example, okay? Before, I have complained about my mom. I always sleep very late because to play games, to look at some not so good pictures. I watch TV 4 hours a day, average. Okay? I play a lot of games. I like to gossip around. Okay? But after NYTS will be changed, right? Will be changed. I will transformed by the Holy Spirit. So after I have the heart of gratitude, and I never complain anymore, never, because I listen much teachings from Jesus, from the Bible. So I want to change. But change, you always bring pain. When you want to change, of course, you will bring pain. Because when you do the change, you have to turn around, you have to turn around, and turn around 180 degrees. Not 360 degrees. If you turn 360 degrees, which means go your original position. So just 180 is enough. No more, no more, no less. No more, no less. 180 degrees. So when you turn, of course, you have to turn, right? You have to turn. And when you want to turn around, it's not easy. Because like now, I have nothing, right? It's easy for me to turn around, right? But if I carry TV, I carry computer, I carry internet, I carry iPhone, I carry iPad, I carry my baseball, I carry my basketball, right? So many things on my back, right? And sometimes I worry about, oh, my baseball just rolled down to the ground, right? My basketball just rolling down to the ground. Oh, you are busy, right? All the times. Then you don't have time for Jesus Christ, right? Because when you turn, right, wow, I might lose my baseball, I might lose my head, I might lose my computer, my camera will drop to the floor, then my email will lose my email, will lose my information, my data. So you are very busy and worried about many things. But if like me, like right now, it's easy for me to turn around. Okay. So that's why we have turned around and changed our lifestyle. But take time, okay? There was an author, she wrote a book, okay? Because she used to be a realtor agent, and she was so busy, very busy. And when she get home, when she got home, around 9 o'clock already, okay? So when she got home, she just lie down on the sofa. Oh, I'm so tired. And the children, his children, just approached to her, Mom, I need this one, I need that one. Oh, go away, you know, walk away from me. I'm so tired. Oh, go to your father. And the father worked real late. When he got home about 8 o'clock, then from 8 o'clock, well, he had to cook for the children and then do this, do that, right? And also wash dishes. Okay? He said, oh, I'm tired too, go to your mom. And then mom said, go to your father. And father said, go to your mom. Okay, so the children just back and forth, right? Who are here, there, right? Then finally, the children just go to sleep, okay? So every day by day, just the same, okay, same. Then one day, okay, when she lay down on the sofa, right? Then her two eyes just look into the ceiling, then just think about, is this my life? Is this my life? I need this kind of life. Huh? This is my life. It's my destination. No, it's not, right? It's not. I have more important things. I need my family. It's not right. So from that point, she tried to turn around, okay? But it's not easy to turn around because she has to cancel many schedules, right? Her cancel many schedules. So she took 3 years. She took 3 years to simplify her life. Took 3 years. Brothers and sisters. So Bible tells us, we have to sell what we have. Sell what we have in order to follow Jesus Christ. But how to sell? It's a process. It's a time. We need a time. But we need a determination too. Like this lady, she make a determination then to turn around and then just put into action. And she took 3 years to change his life, to change her life. And that's painful, right? But she can do it. Finally, she got back a peaceful life. So we as Christian soldiers, you know, let nothing entangle us. Otherwise, it's very hard to follow Jesus Christ. Okay. So I think that you can share, you know, how will you say about yourself before and after NYTS? And also share with your parents. Maybe your parents right now are very busy, busy in their business or in their career. So just self-control. You know. One guy wrote an article. Right? Okay, he said, "We work so hard for company, okay, and we provide a lot of effort and a lot of contributions to our companies. But after we retired, what we have? You know, during our prime time, we just sell our whole life to company. But after retired, what do you have? The wreckage." Like a broken machine. Oh, today I have to go to see the heart doctor, right? Tomorrow I have to go to see the eye doctor. Then the other day I have an appointment with the kidney doctor. So after you serve a company for certain years, for over 40 years, then after we retired, what look like? Just like junk, become junk indeed. So many people could not enjoy their late life. Even some of them, they just pass away before they retired. I tell the truth. So self-control. Right? Don't sell all your life to your company. It's not smart. Okay, if you are wise, okay, save some time for Jesus Christ. So you can share, you know, before and after NYTS. Then next one. Paul's epistles, divided into 3 categories. The first category is travel letters. Okay. So when he travels certain churches, okay, or pastor certain churches, then he just some idea, okay, and he just uses some word to encourage them. Like 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians, Romans. Okay. So those letters we call travel letters. And next one, prison letters, okay, we talk about already. And next one, pastoral letters. Okay. Pastoral letters. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. 3 letters. 1st and 2nd Timothy and also Titus. Okay. You got? Okay, so how many letters totally? How many letters in total? 13, you don't have to count. How many? 13. How many? 13. How many? 13. 19, somebody? No, 13. How many? 13, okay. So divided into 3 categories. The first one is travel letters. And second, prison letters, pastoral letters. Let me see, 4 plus 3, 7. So 6 letters in 12 letters. Okay. So we might give you a test. Okay, if I give you a test, 12 letters and prison letters and pastoral letters, then you will write down okay, all 13 letters. And Paul's spiritual legacy to us. He had a very great character, right? Spiritual characters. Okay, then we can learn. The first one is obedience. Okay. When he converted to Jesus Christ, and then she knew who Jesus was. Because he said, Lord, what can I do for you? Then Jesus instructed him to preach the gospel. So from that moment on, he just put effort to preach the gospel. But somebody want to kill him, And all the members just persuaded him to walk away, to run away, to go back his original town at Tarsus, right? Tarsus. So it's obedience, okay? He said, obey, be obedient to brothers and sisters. If not, then he can say, you know, I'm so intellectual, I'm so educated, I have so much gifted. I preach the gospel, then you see, many people try to believe, and why you stop me? No, he just obey, you know, obey. Then the commitment, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 and 24. 20. 22. And see now, I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So we can see, because at that time, one prophet just prophesied, Paul will encounter a lot of tribulations and also persecutions. If I were Paul, then I might say, oh, thank you so much. Thank you, you stopped me. Otherwise, if I go to Jerusalem, I might be killed. Oh, thank God you tell me. No. Paul didn't say like this way, didn't think into this way. He said, instead, he said, see now, I go bound in the spirit of Jerusalem, and not knowing the things will happen to me, but certainly he knows chains and tribulations await him. That's why he knows, okay? So even he knew chains and tribulations await him, but still go there, still move on. So he keep the commitment. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 26. I think this verse would touch everybody. 19. Acts 26, verse 19. 26, verse 19. Because we are all Christian soldiers, okay, so we do it all together. 19. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, why is the heavenly vision before? What was the heavenly vision? He never contradict. He never disobey. Here's the heavenly vision. Heavenly vision, which means he will suffer for Jesus Christ. He will suffer for Jesus Christ. He will preach the gospel to Gentiles. Any kind of hardship, any kind of tribulations could not stop him. Brothers and sisters, so in the same way, any kind of criticism, or any kind of hardship, any kind drawback never stop us, never stop our determination, never stop our commitment, never, okay. So he keep his commitment to the Lord. Then the next one, love, okay. Then compassion, courage, humility, okay. He has great love because for 3 years, he shed tears for members, day and night. How many times you shed tears for brothers and sisters? because you have loved them, you have compassion on them. Then you shed tears. Raise your hand. How many times? One time, raise your hand. Two times. You shed tears for brothers and sisters because of your compassion or your love. Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Thank God. Okay, you have a compassion on them, right? Because you love them so much. Yeah. And Apostle Paul said, 3 years, day and night, 3 years, day and night. This is with a greater love. Love brothers and sisters. So in the same way, we should put our feet on their shoes, on somebody's shoes, okay? So we can understand their need. Okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25, Matthew. Okay, from 31 to 46. Okay, we don't have much time to read. I just tell the main point. okay, 30. When did we see you a stranger and take you in? And 39. And when did we see you sick? And 40. See? And 37. 37. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And see. So see, which means observe. Right? So we have to meet somebody's needs. Then we have to observe what they need. Then observe need a long period of the time to observe somebody's needs. If we just shake hands, hey, how are you doing? Come on, bye. Right? Then, there's no way to understand their needs. But if you like a kiss, in the Song of Solomon, right? The kiss, the good fellowship, the good in relationship, then you understand their needs. Then you can meet their needs. Okay. So not just nod our head. Hey, brother Lu. Hey, brother Din. Hey, how are you doing? Then that's it. Then no more. No. Should be have a good relationship. Fellowship. Fellowship. Okay. Fellowship. Have a good fellowship to understand their needs. Observe. Need a time. Okay. Need a effort. Need a heart. To understand somebody's needs. So Paul has great love and compassion and courage. We need courage. Because our Lord, our Jesus Christ, is the first one, wonderful counselor, right? And then second one, mighty God. Third one, everlasting Father. Then last one, the Prince of Peace. Okay. Later I will give a test, okay, this one. Yeah. Later, yeah. Humility, okay. Then last one, okay. Hidden heroes to Paul, because Paul actually has three hidden heroes, okay. Then heroes, which means very important to his life, okay. And also for him, it's a turning point. First one is Ananias. Then the second one, Barnabas. Then the third one, Luke. Okay. The first one, second one, last one. You know why? You read the Bible, then you will understand. Okay. Because Ananias, okay, went to Paul's place, then to lay hand on him, and to ordain, and to help him to have the Holy Spirit. Then Barnabas to accept Paul, okay, and Luke always around. He just follow Paul. So Luke actually is a writer, so he can write, okay, their journey. Right? That's why we have the Book of Acts. The writer is Luke, so he can write down every journey, every day schedule. He just mark down, okay. So. We have three hidden heroes to Paul. The first one, Ananias. Then the second one, Barnabas. Then last one, Luke. Okay. Then Group B, Group B. Stand up, Group B. Group B. Okay, stand up. Group B. Brothers and sisters, please keep in our mind, okay, in your whole life, if you keep this in your whole life, okay, then I guarantee the goodness of our Lord will follow you all the ways, okay, will follow you all the day of your life. Remember, say again, okay, everybody. The first one, our Lord is, then, okay, keep in your mind, okay, pray in silence.